Go. Ta-da. Okay, I'll log in a bit. But yeah, this is awesome group out there called The Crypto Show. Not cryptography. I know people hate when people say crypto. They're now talking about cryptocurrency, cryptography, but that's what it is. Is, you know, there's a lot of podcasts about cryptocurrencies and altcoins and shitcoins, but this is an FM radio station in Texas. I can't remember exactly where in Texas, but it's in Texas that actually talks about cryptocurrencies, and not just like cryptocurrencies about like market and stuff. They talk about some of the tech. They talk about how it actually impacts the local area. They talk about how it can be BS and everything. And originally, there was supposed to be a person here. That didn't work out, so we were going to do a live conversation over the air, similar to what we were doing with Brad and the CFA calls earlier. That didn't work out, unfortunately. So he asked if I could play, in part at least, one of the Crypto Show episodes, and I said yes. So without further ado, getting this working, and I'll be logging in IRC from here, I'm going to be playing one of, I think, the best episode that I could play here, which is kind of a back-to-basic episode where they kind of really break down cryptocurrencies for those who are very unfamiliar with it, kind of explain who they are, and you kind of get a good idea of them. And so if you're ever driving through Texas, you can go to www.thecryptoshow.com, tune in at a certain channel, which I'll say at the end of this recording, and listen to altcoins while you try to drive over random cattle while drinking moonshine and shooting your revolver 45 that you got in your Happy Meal. So the console should be working, and turn sound on and scene. Enjoy.
Its affiliates, management, or advertisers.
Welcome to the Digital Cash Evolution. We're here on a happy Wednesday, hoping to reach everybody out there in Phoenix, Arizona, and let them know about digital currencies, cryptocurrencies, bitcoins, all these other, you know, scary things that everybody's talking about these days. I mean, obviously, this is going to be the future of money. This is where things are going. You know, if you think about it, think about the internet in the 90s. Remember the show was... Was it like the Today Show or whatever with Brian Gummel? Yeah. Like, what's that little at sign mean?
You know? I thought it meant about.
Right. Yeah. You know, like that was email back then. That was the internet. And now look at it. So obviously, I mean, that's the way things are going. And this is kind of the stage that these cryptocurrencies are in right now, is the same thing. You know, it's the internet. This is the internet of money, in fact. And let's get into this. I'm here with Doug Hodges, who runs a local business here for Bitcoin ATMs. What all does your ATM service? Is it just Bitcoin at this point?
Or? Bitcoin and Litecoin right now.
Bitcoin and Litecoin, and you're going to be adding other coins in the future, right?
Yep, that's on the roadmap.
Okay, and you're also going to be offering some training services, and that's kind of what we really want to get out, is let people know that there are options out there that you can go to local people to reach out to try to learn about these currencies, so that the world doesn't get ahead of you. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So we want to get out there and educate right now. That's the number one thing that I think the community needs is education. Just like in the early 90s you talked about, Bitcoin is about probably the internet in the early 90s. And one of those hurdles for people was the terminology. So there's all these words thrown around and people can, you know, what the heck are you talking about? Right. Decentralized, peer-to-peer.
What's a wallet?
What's a wallet? Yes.
Does it have leather on it?
This is all digital. It's a whole new world.
It's all digital. It's a whole new world. So, yeah, let's get into some of the terms, I guess.
Yeah.
And, well, and first, we also have a guest on the line. He's one of a good friend of mine. His name is John Barrett, and he does a podcast called Bitcoins and Gravy. And he's a, you know, he's kind of a country boy from Tennessee there. John, are you there?
I'm here. How's it going, guys?
It's going really good. And John has had a podcast on a really cool podcast network called Let's Talk Bitcoin, and some of the best, most informative shows out there are on this network. And John is always kind of focused on trying to reach the little guy, you know, highlight some of the businesses and stuff like that there in Memphis. And we're hoping to do that, too. So if you're listening, definitely give us a call at 602-277-KFNX. Here in Phoenix, and if you have a question, there's no dumb questions.
Just and also, we want to throw out for the guys you don't want to call in. If you want to write in, go ahead and you can write in. Shoot us a tweet at hashtag PHCryptoShow. That's PHCryptoShow, or you can find us on our Facebook group, Phoenix Crypto Network Group, or email us if you want to email into info@phoenixcrypto.com. We'd love to see your write-ins and see what people, the questions you guys have for us. That's, I think, really one of the best ways to educate people. And I really recommend you guys check out John's podcast. I've been listening to Bitcoins and Gravy since I first got into Bitcoin in 2013. So it's cool for me to have John on the show.
He's
here.
Actually a pretty good musician too.
Yes.
And you'll actually hear some of his music on
Satoshi,
this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of our bumper music on this show is actually written by John. So, if you like that country song, What is it called? Ode to Satoshi.
Ode to Satoshi.
Yes, you will definitely know that it's John that's singing. John,
as I gotta make a quick correction.
Yeah?
It's in Memphis still.
Memphis. Alrighty. Okay. Well, you know, John, you got into this to try to teach the little guy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, more and more there's a huge opportunity.
I'm sorry, we lost you there, John. Are you still there? Well, we lost John. So,
what we can do is go to. We'll look out for your guys' questions coming in through. What we can do, I think, here is cover some of these definitions that we talked about. These big scary words. So, I'm just going to hit a few of them here for you, and I think it'd be a good idea to cover a little bit of this each week.
Yeah, definitely. We also want to get you information out there about exchanges and things like that on how to buy. And we're going to definitely direct you to buy from someone here local.
So we want to walk you through all of the basics so that you feel you're going in feeling like you've walked away with some knowledge, from the show and from us.
But how much will that cost me, Doug?
That's not going to cost you a single dollar. So. That's what we're here for. That's really our goal, is to just spread that knowledge, because a rising tide, a rising sea rises all ships. So as we get education out there, then that's going to bring.
We do have John back on the line.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let's go ahead and touch on one of the main ones. What are the main topics that you hear so much?
The first big one is decentralized.
Decentralized.
Okay. Some of these can be big, scary words if you haven't dove into it. But decentralized is very
Is that like scatterbrained?
No, decentralized.
That's not scatterbrained. All right.
I like to describe decentralized to people like the thing we all know as decentralized is the internet. So decentralized essentially means there's no central authority. There's
no anarchy.
Yeah. Which also means no central point of failure, which is a big aspect. So there's no warehouse full of internet to seize. There's no warehouse full of internet to bomb. Bitcoin works in the way in that it's distributed and decentralized amongst all of the computers that connect to it. And you can take out any given part of any node that's connected to the network, and it's meaningless because it is distributed.
All right.
So the next one is peer-to-peer. We talked a little bit last week too, but peer-to-peer is peer-to-peer is the best way to give an example is if I hand a $10 bill from me to you, that's a very literal translation of peer-to-peer. So that's one person to another. So Bitcoin works in that way that there's no middle party.
There's no middleman, nobody sharing your information with. That's another thing that's really important about peer-to-peer that you want to share, especially if people are shopping on the internet. They don't have the bank handing out all of their information. So you're going from point A to point B, and there's no middleman to put you
in. Yeah, crypto transactions are what's known as push transaction versus pull transactions. So a pull transaction is when you swipe your credit card at a point of sale. You're allowing the merchant, you're giving them the credentials to be able to pull your money from your account. So push transaction is obviously much more interesting, the capabilities, because handing over a $10 bill, paying for your merchandise with cash, that's irreversible. So Bitcoin works in the same way.
And we'll also explain how many people are involved in this when, in the pull transaction. How many people are getting your information?
Yeah, when you swipe a credit card, there's approximately 7 parties that are involved in that transaction. Every time you're basically giving your username and your password to your money to your bank, the receiver's bank, and about five handful of other parties in between.
And so essentially you got 7 parties out there that have all your bank information. So if you just bought these ugly socks, now 7 people knew that you bought those ugly socks, and you didn't get those Bitcoin alpaca socks instead.
It's like a bank in a box. What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader or will you follow? Are you a fighter or will you cower?
And welcome back to the Digital Cash Evolution. And we do have our guest online, and we'll get to him in just a second. This show is about the Bitcoins and the Bitcoin accessories and Bitcoin gravy and all these other things. So, John, tell us about that. Tell us about the Bitcoins and gravy.
I'll tell you what, guys. I think it's so important that we open up a new conversation every time we talk about Bitcoin, because I keep hearing people isolate the conversation into Bitcoin, the currency, Bitcoin, the currency, Bitcoin, the currency. And so a lot of people out there are thinking, this is just a digital internet currency. I'm fine with my U.S. dollars. I'm fine with my plastic. I don't need this. What they don't realize is that what was invented in 2009 is the largest cryptographically secured network the world has ever seen. We're looking at a decentralized global consensus mechanism. That means if I change something on my public ledger, it gets changed over in Tokyo. It gets changed over in Sydney, Australia. What we're dealing with here is blockchain tech, and it's complicated. It's difficult to understand in lots of ways, but what's important is to realize that we're looking at the recorded information and the sharing of information. We're looking at a platform that allows people to share information, not just money. So we're talking about something that stands to disrupt not just banking and Wall Street, but also everything that has to do with law, legal, land, titles, trusts, deeds, things like that, everything in healthcare, supply chains. So we're looking at something that's incredibly disruptive, this blockchain tech, specifically Bitcoin and all these others. But it's funny because the conversation keeps going back to just the token, Bitcoin, money, money, money. This is not all about money. We're looking at the internet of information, the internet of value, the internet that's decentralized in the truest sense, that we actually don't have today. So it was mentioned that to give an example, the internet is decentralized. Well, sadly, less and less that's true. We see the big players trying to monopolize. We see a lot of censoring on the internet now, not just in China, but here in the U.S., right? So we're building a decentralized internet. And it's probably the most exciting thing that's happened in world history, certainly in my life. Some people are saying it's as important, as significant as the invention of the printing press or the Industrial Revolution. So this is kind of like a new Industrial Revolution. So let's not lose sight of the bigger picture, and that is, again, the largest cryptographically secured network the world has ever seen. And we can peer-to-peer, person-to-person, we can send value back and forth. We can confirm information in a way that we were never able to prior to 2009 when this new computer technology was invented. And then on top of that, on top of this great technology sits these tokens. And we can talk about those tokens, but that's just, those are just the first apps sit on top of this amazing new computer technology. And I think that's really important to get to people when we start this conversation. And I think that, the people I talk with, that draws people in and they say, ah, it's more than just a kooky internet currency. And I say, yes, it's much more than that. And it will, it is actively changing the world right now that we live in.
Yeah, I know, a good example of that, I guess, would be like Bill Gates. He's out there talking all kinds of smack about Bitcoin and,
but
at the same time, he's investing heavily in Factum, which is securing medical records in Africa. Yeah, can you talk about that?
Yeah, on the Bitcoin blockchain. So, yeah, Paul Snow, I've interviewed him twice on the show. I love Paul. Was invited twice to his conference there, the Texas Bitcoin Conference. I loved going to that. I missed it last year, sadly. But, yeah, you know, if you can take documents and you can hash those documents, and if anyone, you know, doesn't know what hashing means, a simple way to look at it is you take a complex document, a legal document, and you create a thumbprint of that using cryptography, a branch of mathematics that crunches numbers. It's a simple way to put it. So this, these documents have thumbprints called hashes, and you can then take them and put them right on the Bitcoin blockchain, and they can live there. So it may be a legal document about someone's marriage. It may be a birth or death certificate. It may be a land deed to prove that you own that land or what have you. But once it's on that blockchain, what people don't understand is it's never going away. It's immutable. The blockchain is immutable. You can't change it. You know, this is something that is, it's open. It's decentralized, as was mentioned, borderless, censorship resistant, and neutral. So anybody can use this. Not just the good guys, yet the bad guys will use it too.
Well, they use cash more than anything. So, if you're a bad guy out there trying to do something with, you know, these ledgers, you probably shouldn't be doing that because you're securing the evidence against yourself. So that's not really a great idea.
Absolutely. And I always say with a decentralized system, like a truly decentralized internet or trading platform or what have you, those exist now and they're coming more and more. I say there will always be bad players. We cannot get rid of the bad people in the world. But thankfully, most people are good people. Most people want the same thing, right? They want food and shelter for their families. They want a better life. They want a vacation once a year if they can afford it. And the bad players, they're going to keep doing what they do. And the good people in every community, they have ways of discouraging that bad behavior and incentivizing the good behavior. And so that's really where we're headed. And it's, man, these are exciting times. I'm just on fire with how exciting this technology is.
Yeah, definitely. So, hey, you know, when you got going there in Memphis.
No, Nashville. I'm in Nashville.
Okay, you're in Nashville. Anyway, you were working with local businesses and stuff too, trying to get those going. Can you talk about that? Some of the people that actually sponsored you and talk about what's going on there.
Well, I can tell you Nashville has really grown in leaps and bounds in terms of blockchain tech and in terms of Bitcoin. So we had BTC Media came out of Alabama a couple years ago. That's David Bailey and Callie Bailey, and then their whole crew now, which has just grown so quickly. And they're now in the Pinnacle Building downtown. BTC Media bought the LTV network from Adam B. Levine 2 years ago, I guess it is. And they've just grown so big here in Nashville that they've been a great influence for us here. We have like 4 or 5 Bitcoin Ethereum meetups here. We have Hashed Health, which is the brainchild of John Bass, who is, it's been in healthcare with Vanderbilt University and other universities for many, many years. And that is basically, Hashed Health is basically working to help businesses understand how to use blockchain tech in healthcare specifically. So, yeah, just seeing these things coming to Nashville and the distributed health conference, we've had two. We have another one this year. So the third distributed health conference that brings in healthcare professionals, educators, speakers from all over the world. That's here at the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center every year now. And that's been really exciting. And those numbers grow. And the speakers that show up for that are phenomenal. And I broadcast from there every year. But, we're seeing kind of an explosion. We don't have the anywhere near really the tech that a city like Austin has. But we're growing. You know, we're getting there. We have lots of little groups around town that are learning to code, that are teaching people to code in and out of the schools. And so, yeah, it's really growing. As far as small businesses, though, accepting Bitcoin as actual, you know, Bitcoin payments, sadly, after all these years, We only have one that I know of. It's Flight Fine Dining and Wine or something like that. And I've been there before. I interviewed Scott Sears, the owner, one of the owners on the show. But that's sadly the only business here in Nashville that I know of that actually accepts Bitcoin payments. But we're working on it. We've got our Tuesday night Bitcoins and beer. We got a good, strong crew of bearded men here in Nashville, and we are we're hell-bent on getting some pubs and other places around Nashville to accept Bitcoin payments.
Awesome. Yeah, I know here in Phoenix, I've been frequenting this pizza joint because I can buy pizza and beer and whatever else is for sale there in the establishment with Dash or Bitcoin. Wow. Or Litecoin or whatever coin you got. He'll take it over there at Classic Crust Pizza. And last Wednesday, or last Tuesday, it was the 22nd, and I went into the pizza shop, and there were literally more people paying with cryptocurrencies than there were paying with fiat in this guy's shop. So, you know, and this was over a period of what, we were there like 2 hours maybe?
Yeah, we've kind of turned that into a Bitcoin hub here in Phoenix. There's a lot of the locals that are involved and come in and out of there.
And if you're out there listening and you have a business and you're not accepting Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency, you should go ahead and look into doing that. And we'll definitely highlight you on the show here and talk about you, try to get people in. And, you know, maybe you can have meetups there. And people who use cryptocurrencies are very loyal, and they will come and spend their money with you. Even if it's not crypto, they will come and spend your dollars with you just because you're accepting it. You're one of them, kind of. And
man, I'm so jealous of your pizza place, man. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, this guy, he's so into it. He developed his own point of sale, which was pretty interesting. He calls it Pizza Lightning Beer, and it's just got these little buttons on it. You if you want to pay with the Lightning Network, you push Lightning. If you want to pay with or if you want to buy pizza, you just touch the little pizza icon. If you want to buy beer, you touch the beer icon, and that's it. There's nothing else on the face of it, but it's really simple and easy to use. We'll be right back.
I'm here to tell you, Bitcoin's faster, more secure, and more efficient than it is.
And there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen.
And welcome back to the Digital Cash Evolution. And man, I can't believe the song played while we had him on the line. John, you still there?
Man, I love that song.
All right. Well, it just got played to all of Phoenix.
You
got to
play like that was on purpose.
Yeah, I know it was.
Thanks, fellas.
Heck yeah. So we're going to jump into another topic real quick here with you, John. What is it backed by? You know, you always hear this. What is it backed by? You know, is there gold somewhere in a vault?
So we look at Bitcoin is backed by its properties. Same way that it's gold. If it's property.
Oh.
Characteristics. Maybe is that a better word?
There you go.
You know, if you look at gold, you say, what is gold backed by? And you shake your head. Well, wait, no, that doesn't work that way. Money's supposed to be backed by gold. But if you look at gold, why gold makes good money, it's because of its properties. So there's six characteristics that define good money. And that's durability, portability, divisibility, scarcity, fungibility, and acceptability. That's a lot of terms. But I think really what most people relate to is that scarcity property. So if you look at gold, we know it has value because of all of its properties. But one of the most important is that scarcity.
Mm-hmm. So you need to add one more topic. Shiny.
Yeah. Jewelry. That's one property that Bitcoin doesn't have, you know.
Well, John, what's your take on what is Bitcoin backed by?
Man, I've got to go back again. I've got to say, you know, if you're talking about the Bitcoin, the currency is backed by this cryptographically secured network. You know, we're talking about a value transfer network. The tech is what exists and cannot exist separate from BTC. If you don't know, folks, Bitcoin, the currency, is called BTC.
Yeah, right? So do not send BCH to your BTC wallet. Exactly. There's a big, just another real quick term, and let's get that out there so people know. Bitcoin Cash is not Bitcoin. It's not the same. Don't get confused. They're on the same blockchain, but please don't send your Bitcoin to your Bitcoin Cash wallet. You will lose it. So don't be fooled by somebody's terminology just because they feel a certain way about it.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, so when we talk about BTC, Bitcoin, you know, you cannot extract that or talk about that separate from Bitcoin with a capital B, the word spelled out, Bitcoin. That is the Bitcoin blockchain. That is the Bitcoin protocol, the computer technology. One cannot exist without the other. If you try to take BTC, the token, away, Bitcoin could not work. That's the way that it works is by way of the token, and the way that the token works is by way of the technology. So there's a symbiotic relationship between the two. One cannot exist without the other. So when people say, what's backing Bitcoin? I can say, well, absolutely. The technology is an integral part of the token. So if you have this technology that looks by all metrics like it is going to continue to sweep across the world, changing every single industry that we know, this technology, right, just as the Internet did, but even in a more intense way than ever before, that is precisely what is backing this token. As we see this technology grow on this exponential growth curve of adoption and everything else, guess what's going along for the ride? That's BTC, the token, inextricably tied to the technology. And so anybody who says that price of that is not going to go up, or the popularity of that, the usage of that is not going to go up, they're simply denying that the technology is going to continue and thrive. And right, by all metrics, it is thriving right now in real time.
Yeah, it is essentially digital gold that cannot be duplicated. So that's right, a kind of an easier way for somebody that doesn't really understand any of these terms to kind of think about it. And why is that? Because this digital gold, it cannot be duplicated, because it would cost you billions of dollars to try to attack the network to change that ledger that we spoke about in the previous segments.
And to speak to our audience here, too, I think, speaking of that scarcity, I think one of the other concerns and comments that I get from people is, well, I don't trust it because I don't understand it. And that is a completely fair assessment. So I usually kind of have two approaches to that question and that concern. The first being, how much do you actually know about how our current money works? Or like John is saying, you know, money is only one application of Bitcoin. If you say, how well do you actually know how the plumbing, the inner workings of the Internet, how that actually works? The second thing I would say is, what's so important about Bitcoin is that it's open source, or at least another important characteristic of Bitcoin is that it's open source. And so what that means is people much smarter than me can go in and have been going in.
Well, so you're talking like most of the people in this room already.
Most of the people, yeah. That can go in and review that code line by line. None of it is hidden. It's completely open source software. So you know, the brightest minds in the world are working on Bitcoin in the cryptocurrency space right now. And no one has been able to find a fatal fundamental flaw in Bitcoin that, you know, is big enough to bring it down, per se.
But well, and it's open source, so anyone can contribute to the code. What Correct. Prevents malicious code from being contributed?
Well, there's a review process involved, and that gets into probably some higher level than we're usually going to try to cover on this show. But like I said,
well, John, do you have a take on that? What keeps malicious code from being added into Bitcoin, and suddenly I can copy my gold?
Well, I'm not much of a tech guy, but suffice it to say that every black hat hacker, meaning every bad guy who's tried to hack the Bitcoin technology, and every bad government or every bad actor within a government that's tried to bring Bitcoin down, they've all failed. So yes, there have been many attempts to insert malicious code and to bring Bitcoin down, or to destroy Bitcoin or taint it in some way, and they've all failed. So yeah, he's right. Actually, if you want to get into the actual details of how the Bitcoin code is protected, you're looking at a technical discussion that's probably beyond where any of us are. I don't know.
Yeah, we're pretty much all dummies. We're all dummies, and we're trying to speak dummy language to the people. You know, that are listening so they don't get intimidated.
I think it's important to distinguish for a lot of people that have heard and read news stories about how Bitcoin's been hacked or there has been a failure of some kind of, you know, money is stolen, Bitcoin is stolen, cryptocurrencies.
They all have one thing in common. What is that?
They are centralized. Meaning there is a company behind. So Bitcoin, the technology, has never been hacked. There are many companies.
These third parties. So it's like
most of them are custodial, meaning they are holding your bitcoins for you, which we are always going to advocate being in control of your own bitcoin. And that is, you know, going back to the wallets that we want to explain to you guys how to secure and download and get your wallets going. But all of these failures, the bad press you hear and the things you see on the news, it's always a company that failed. It's never Bitcoin itself. So they can be very misleading to the general public. If you're not well educated on Bitcoin, it's easy to, you know, be deceived and think that there is a problem with the actual
technology. I can't trust a trading card company or what?
I can't trust anyone, Danny. Don't trust, verify.
The weakest link is always the end user. When it comes to cryptocurrency, you have to take responsibility for your own coins.
That's true.
The one other terminology here that I had pulled up, we were looking at is blockchain is another word that gets thrown a lot. And blockchain, just to define, is the technology that powers all of the cryptocurrencies. And so that's Bitcoin.
That's when you take a block and you wrap a chain around it. And someone pisses you off, you throw them in the river. Is that a blockchain?
No. They weren't talking. There's no swimming with the fishes in crypto.
Okay.
The blockchain is the underlying technology. When we talk about people say, I don't understand it. I don't understand how it works. Blockchain is the mechanism through which we have verifiability that Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency can't be copied.
Right. These blocks stack on top of each other, or they link in a chain as a blockchain, and that's each 10-minute version of all the transactions are in one chain, and you revert back to the one before and before and before each and every 10 minutes. Yes. And that's basically what a blockchain is.
It's basically the ledger of every blockchain or Bitcoin transaction that has happened since the beginning.
And we will be right back. And welcome back to Digital Cash Evolution. I'm here with Doug Hodges, and we've got John Barrett on the line. If you have any questions about cryptocurrencies, give us a call at 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-KFNX. And we've got some classes and stuff coming up that don't cost you anything. All you have to do is show up and meet the people and let them help you get a wallet set up and, you know, find out where to get an exchange and the whole bit.
Yeah, we are having an upcoming class on June 6th. This is this week from today, I believe. That is going to be at the Monastery in Mesa. That's at 4810 East McKellips Road in Mesa. And so all comers welcome. I mean, and this class is really going to be geared toward the very, very basics of Bitcoin. So, you know, no questioners are dumb. Come in. There's going to be a Q&A session. I'm going to do a presentation that's kind of demystifying cryptocurrencies, the title of the presentation. And so you can find out more about the class and find out more about us at phoenixcrypto.com. And you can find us on our social media, pretty much all social media at phxcrypto.com. And also want to mention Phoenix Crypto is our new name. We did just recently brand. A lot of people know me as Westside Bitcoins. So we kind of changed to adapt to, you know, we started out as Bitcoin Trader. Now the ecosystem has really grown, and so we are now Phoenix Crypto, and we were operating ATMs. Go to our website, phoenixcrypto.com, to find those ATM locations as well, where you can buy and sell your crypto.
Yeah, and definitely check out our website, thecryptoshow.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and everything else under the same name, Instagrams. You can send us smoke signals if that's what you do as well. We don't care. But we're out there all over the place. Definitely check out the website and see some of the stuff that we've done. It's been pretty cool. And again, the number is 602-277-KFNX. If you're out there sitting in a red light or whatever, go to the Play Store and download that Edge wallet. And if you give us a call before the end of the show, we'll send you some Bitcoin.
Or if you want to tweet, hashtag PHX Crypto Show, and ask us any questions, we'll answer here on the show. This show really is going to be designed for the newbies.
Yeah, the beginners. We want other people to get involved in this stuff. And what else do you have scheduled then?
Well, we're going to be looking at doing a whole series of classes, but we do have this class that's coming up June 6th. It is a monthly class, so you can also find out info about the monthly Arizona Bitcoin meetup at meetup.com or the meetup app. And so we do this the first Wednesday of every month.
The first Wednesday.
We often do it at Classic Crust Pizza. So the next one probably will be again back at Classic Crust. This time we're trying to reach out and go out to the East Valley. That's why we're having it at the.
Oh, right. So you're working both
in Mesa,
sides.
Yeah. And so we're also looking for places, in the West Valley to host. And one other thing we're looking for is if you're a business owner out there, because we do operate those ATMs, we are looking to expand. And if you own a business and would like to host an ATM, we pay a fee to host the ATM inside your shop.
You mean I can make money?
No, you can make Bitcoin, which is even better.
Even better than money. So, well, what is the criteria? I mean, and what would be the best kind of business to host an ATM?
We do most of our traffic on evenings and weekends. So really any place that is open late hours, 24 hours is ideal, but late hours and open weekends.
Yeah, I guess if kind of the trend that we're going with here is we're not actually selling anything on the show. We're trying to, you know, just to show you a technology and let you learn how to use that technology. But we're not selling anything. So,
yeah, I really want to position Phoenix Crypto as an education company first. We want to educate and bring people into the ecosystem, into the community. It's very intimidating. I know these people myself, many of my friends, family, they're confused. They're thrown by the terminology. And so we just really want to educate people.
Right. So if there are businesses that want to start accepting it here in town and get new people to come in, will you help them get that set up?
We would love for you to, and anyone who's interested in hosting an ATM, to also be open to the idea of accepting crypto in your store.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain some of the other options that are out there for people to use, like BitPay and things where there's actually, because people are worried about the volatility. I mean, why do I want to accept this currency and it's so volatile? So kind of explain about BitPay.
That's the most common question for a merchant that doesn't fully understand it, and they've seen how the price of Bitcoin goes up and down. Just like you said, the volatility, you can actually...
Ooh, I don't know if we can say volatility on here.
I got bleeped there. you can actually completely remove the volatility by having these merchant service providers like BitPay or Coinbase, and they'll convert all of whatever your sales are at the time of the sale directly into U.S. dollars. So if you...
Right. So you don't even... You're not really even going to realize that you've accepted it. You essentially got paid in dollars, and they just use this as more or less a credit card transaction.
Correct. You know, and we always encourage it. You know, if you are interested in getting involved and owning some Bitcoin, you can actually tweak that and maybe say keep 20% of it in Bitcoin and take the rest in U.S. dollar or anywhere in between.
Yeah, I think we talked about this one actually on the last show too. Is there's an option out there called BitWage, where you can actually have that taken out of your check if that's what you want to do. Of course, that's going to be something you might be interested in down the road. For right now, we want to just get you set up with the basics. So
we encourage you to go download the Edge wallet or one of the other.
I like the Edge wallet just because it's really easy to download and it has multiple coins on there. So if you want to do Ethereum, or, you know, because that's one of the other ones that people will hear a lot about, Ethereum this and Ethereum that. You can put your Ethereum on this wallet. You can put your Dash on this wallet. Litecoins, all the others. There is also another one called Coinami. I don't know if it's quite as secure, but I trust Paul Poy's wallet. So.
And once you get that going, reach out to us. That's what we do. We walk people through it. We'll help you understand the technology. We'll help you install it, back it up. One of the most important things is you hear in Bitcoin is be your own bank. Well, one of the responsibilities of being your own bank is maintaining that security. And so we can educate you on how to best secure your backups.
What is the basic, walk us through setting up a wallet, with the seed phrase and all that stuff.
So the process is really intuitive and straightforward. The one thing that does throw people is you'll download and install it either on desktop or for your phone. The backup process is a little unconventional to what most people are used to. Most people are used to a password. So Edge does actually offer that convenience and that kind of that. They do a very good job at bridging that gap of usability so that the backup process for Edge is just a password. But Danny talked about the seed phrase. After you install your wallet, most of your wallets are going to prompt you right after install to back up your wallet, which is what he said, a seed phrase. And so all that is fancy words for 12 random words. And it might sound strange, but you write down these 12 words, you keep them secure, put them, I recommend two copies, somewhere safe, somewhere off-site that's protected from fire, flood.
And then
they sell some really good products that are actually fireproof, waterproof.
And yeah, Bill Fottle.
Yeah, we hope to have those guys on our show too here soon.
Yeah, we'll definitely have that. I actually have a few of those. It's a little steel thing that you just slide the letters into, and it's fireproof. You can put it in your safe. It's waterproof. It's stainless steel, so you don't really have to worry about losing those words. But the importance of those words are if you had money on your wallet that's on your phone, and someone steals your phone or you lose it, break it, drop it in the toilet, whatever. It doesn't matter. You just get a new phone. You add those 12 words right back into a new version of the wallet, and voila, there's your money again.
And I mentioned 12 words. Some of wallets actually do 18 or 24 words.
18 to 24 words even, yeah. So, John, are you still there?
I'm still here, man. I'm just downloading the Edge wallet. You know, I forgot about this thing, and when I was back with Lid Shaw on the show, we'd interviewed Paul Poy, saw him at the Texas Bitcoin Conference a few years ago, hung out with him there in Austin, and Paul is just a fantastic guy, and he's a brilliant guy as well, but I didn't know this was live now, so I'm just right now creating my Edge account as we speak, and looking pretty sweet, so I'm excited.
All right, guys. And since you didn't call in, go ahead and download that Edge wallet. Give us a call, whatever. Reach out to us on social media. Maybe we'll hook you up with some Bitcoin.
And again, that class is next. It is a free class, I want to mention. Next Wednesday, June 6th, bring your questions and learn all about this crazy thing called Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the many awesome episodes of The Crypto Show. Once again, for some background, this was a group that was supposed to come in today, and then when that fell apart, they were going to do an on-air live interview with us, and just, you know, stuff happens. It's a convention. Things sometimes don't work out for certain parties, but they asked if they could play one of their episodes. I got a carte blanche pick of which one. And I think this was kind of a interesting one to do, just because it's like a whole kind of intro to, if you are unfamiliar with the background of cryptocurrencies, what you can expect. And I was actually talking to a couple of there's actually a couple of people right now who are on this floor. Well, half of them are asleep on the hammocks. Yes, we actually do have hammocks here at Hope. I don't know. It's like a chicken or egg thing where I'm usually the one that sleeps in the mezzanine. Used to have a recliner. Now I have an air mattress that's currently being used by a friend. And I can't remember if it was me who did that first, or I'm pretty sure the con did. We like it happened at the same time where I brought my recliner and they brought in hammocks. But yes, we do have hammocks available. So if you need to ever crash during the con, because again, you have the 5-2-1 rule. That's 5 hours of sleep minimum. Two square meals a day. For meals, just happen to be a little circular. That's perfectly fine too. And please, please, please shower every day. We will love you for it. Just go into a tub of your own, or just something where it's like a private tub, and take soap and water, rub it all over your body without the clothes, and then pour water on yourself to rinse it off, and then dry yourself, and put new clothes on, and that will reduce the horrific cyanide odorous chemicals in the elevators at Hotel Pennsylvania. So to facilitate the 5 hours of sleep, we do have hammocks for those who need to take a break from all the exciting action going at the con. It is still stupid o'clock early at 7:56, but there are a couple of people wandering around here. We are currently waiting for, if I'm looking at the schedule, for Radio Wonderland, which is going to be here. It's supposed to be here at 10:30, might be 10:30 a.m. Might be slightly before, might be slightly after. So the current game plan that I have now is I'm going to play some pre-made music here if I can. And I'm going to see if I can get Rob T. Firefly on here, if he's out there and not busy or dead, or busy being dead or dead being busy. And maybe after that, we might have another interesting pre-recorded perspective of someone who's actually here and is going to be interviewed later today. So without further ado, let's get some funky tunes.